everybody doing this morning? Ready for a good day? You're starting it off right. You're in the right place to start the day, in the right place to have a great time. I want to again say thank you to the church. You know how much I love this church. I've really been blessed to be here, and some of you might not know, last week the church blessed me with a car and shared the gift of a car that I truly needed. The church was very gracious. I've been here 33 years, coming up in August, and I've always felt the church was always generous, and it's always proved it over and over again. And again, I just want to say thank you, and I'll tell you a story about that later. But really, what it fits really well with my series of messages, Hurt by the Church. Now, don't raise your hand. Please don't raise your hand. Listen. Please don't raise your hand. If you've been hurt by a church, raise your hand, all right? It happens. It happens. You go to church, you get involved in church, and someone says something, someone does something, something didn't happen, something you expected, something goes wrong. And it happens. And yet we're called, and I want to tell you, but I love the church. I've been scarred by church. I'll be honest with you, not this church. Yeah. Do I have heart pain sometime in the church? This one? Yeah. But I haven't been scarred by it. But I've been in churches. I've shared my experience before I came here 30-some-odd years ago. Because as we go through church, it's a challenge. Because here's the problem. We're family. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I got some crazy people in my family. All right, you know, I got some family members that, I wonder where their head is sometimes, you know, what they're thinking. But we're family. Look here, God, look, get your outline out. We're going to look at Ephesians right now, right on the very top verse there. Listen to what it says. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens. When you come to church, I don't want you to be a stranger. You're not an alien. I don't think you're from Mars. Anybody here from Mars? Venus? Yeah. We're not aliens. You know, we're not strangers. But you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We're part of God's family. The church that I got saved, that I made my decision and commitment to God, and our pastor, I called him Brother Lehman. Anybody remember names like that when you called brothers and sisters? Anybody been in church very long? Come on, some of you don't, you know, don't be embarrassed. We're all getting old. I remember, you know, my grandma would talk about brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so in church. Because we're family. But just as our own personal families, biological families, have struggles, family has struggles. You know, I like what Rick Warren says. I like his word, EGR. Anybody that's in our study, remember what an EGR is? An EGR is someone who needs extra grace required. Okay, now if you look around in your home and you look around, you don't see somebody, and you don't see a member in your home that you need that says that one needs extra grace, look in the mirror. All right? You know, if it's not someone else, it may be you. You know, I was the one in my family, all right? I was always the one that was kind of different and on the outside. But we're family, and like any family, there's going to be heartaches. There's going to be great joys and great celebrations and excitement. But there's also going to be times when it just doesn't go well. And it happens in the church. And if you've been in church at any time, most of you could probably say, I had an experience. Somebody, someone, the pastor, something happened. But it's nothing new. What I think is amazing is you read the Bible, most of those letters that were written, you get into the New Testament, there's a lot of them written to churches. And most of them were written to churches because guess what? There was something going on. Look here at this next passage, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. This word to all of you, Peter's right now. Here's this word. I want to make sure you get the picture. He says, now this word to all of you. And all means all. To all, he's talking to everybody in the church. You should be like one big happy family. Now, I think he chose his words carefully. You should be, which to me implies there's some problems. There's some issues. You should be one happy family full of sympathy toward each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. Here's some things you should be, and here's how you do it. He lists a few things to work on. And we're going to talk about those kind of things this morning. We should be. It's going to take effort. Does it take, you know, you get those invitations to family reunions, and it's like, do I really want to go? Anybody? Yeah. You do, You have to work at being family, am I right? It's the same way. You get up on Sunday morning, do I really want to go? Now, I hope you're not saying, I wonder if so-and-so's there. Please. You know? And if so-and-so's going to be there, I really don't want to go. You know? That we do, you know, just like a family. It's what happens. Our 40-day study. Remember we did our 40-day study and we took our Lord's Supper, that church in Corinth. Listen to what Paul writes there. First, that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church. I like that. You're fighting when you get together, not just having, you're a church. And to some extent, I believe it. Church can be painful. And I want to admit that. We can get hurt in church. You know why we get hurt? Because we're opened our hearts up. We've opened our lives up. We've made ourselves vulnerable. We've shared stories together. We've shared experiences together, some bad, some not so good. And then all of a sudden, somebody just kind of like tap dance on our heart. Anybody? You know, something happened and it hurts. And I want to say those wounds are real and I want to say they hurt. I'm not going to deny that. That's not the question. The question is not, am I hurt? Because it is. It's real. And it hurts. And it's true. And we can't avoid it. That's not the question. The question is, what am I going to do with that hurt? See, that's the challenge. See, I see pain in the church and I see hurts in the church. I see those as silent killers. Okay? Not because they're kind of quiet, but because it's inside of us. And it's eaten away at the inside of us. It's silent. We come to church and we try to put a smile on our face, and yet our heart hurts. Our soul is in pain. Something happened and it's not right. And it's this eating away at us and destroying from within of us. And it's how do we deal with this? What are we going to do? How do we approach this? And so the first message I preached in the series a couple of weeks ago, I said, you know, we need to come to a point where we just got to commit ourselves, connect to the people, serve together, grow together, give together, share together, and we just got to just keep going. But then there's another kind of hurt as I thought about. You know, as a pastor, you know, so I put my bulletin out. You see the bulletin. I try to keep names out of the bulletin. All right? Because here's what I have heard. You list all these names of people like Vacation Bible School. We got all, I mean, it takes a lot of people to make Vacation Bible School work. And you list all the names, but you forget somebody's name. Yeah. They didn't even mention me. Yeah. They got hurt. You expected something. You anticipated something. You know, it's a church. You know, what kind of, the church should be the safe place, right? The church is supposed to be, you know, that's where the Christians hang out. How do we deal with this? I like what Paul says here. Look again. This is 1 Corinthians. I mean, excuse me. Let's go on down to the next one. Romans 12, 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Everyone. Now, I've said this before, and I really mean this. I am glad I'm not God, and you are too. All right? Because, you know, if I was in charge of housing in heaven, and I knew you had a hard time with somebody here on earth, guess who your neighbor's going to be? You know, that's my problem. I'm an aggravator. It's like, you had 80 years, you had 90, and you didn't get used to it? Too bad. Matter of fact, I'm putting you in a duplex. Yeah? We're supposed to get along with everyone. Because I'm going to tell you, if you're a Christian, we're going to live next to one another. And I'm going to sit here and tell you, I would not mind living next to anyone in this place right now. I'm serious. I don't care what your past is. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you're doing. If you're on your way to heaven, let's go and let's get us our house. I'll even mow your yard. I mow my neighbor's now. We got to get used. We got to love one another. We got to care for one another. We got to have grace and compassion and forgiveness for one another. Because we're going to be together for a long time. I'm going to put it this way. This is your forever family. Yeah. And it does hurt. I don't want to deny the hurt. Your heart has been crushed. Words were said or something wasn't done. And you just feel left out and that, you know, it didn't matter and nobody's paying attention and it hurts. But what are you going to do with that? See, I'm going to make it real simple. Hurt people hurt people. Because let me ask you this. If you got a hurt, you know, your foot, your knee, we got some with knees, and you're hurt, does your whole body hurt? It does. I'm going to the dentist on Monday. I've had teeth pulled. They're going to do some dental work on me. You think the only thing that's going to be hurting is my mouth? I hate the dentist. You know? Because it hurts. And so what I want to tell you, you can't kind of compartmentalize your life and say, well, I'm hurt over here, but over here I'm okay. Because I'll come home and I'll say a few things, and Laura goes, what's wrong? You're being kind of snippy to me. Anybody ever hear that one besides me? You know, you ever tell, you know, because she knows it had nothing to do with her, but she knows something is bothering me because but I'm never snippy, okay? You know? But we can't hide those hurts and pains. That's what I want to tell you. So we got to deal with it. How are you going to deal with it? What are you going to do when you feel left out? What are you going to do when you feel there's expectations and it just, it wasn't what you thought? How do we deal with it within the church? So I got four things real quick. I just want to name just four things I want you to think about this morning. If you're looking at your outline, I'll put it this way the first time. Don't blame God for his children's behavior. Don't blame God for the behavior of his children. All right? It is not God's fault. God's character is what? Loving, compassion, caring, forgiving, grace, mercy. On and on. I mean, I can tell you all sorts of character that God has. I put it this way here in your notes, Leviticus 19:2. Tell the whole congregation of Israel, be holy because the Lord your God is holy. God's holy. It's not God's fault. The church, when somebody misbehaves in church, it's not God's fault. Who want to blame? It's God. I'm a parent, all right? I got three children. Am I always happy with my children? Some of you have been here when I was raising my kids. Yeah. Are you always happy with your children? You know? Do sometimes you ever come home and your wife goes, your children are misbehaving? Anybody? You know, they're not theirs anymore. They're yours because they're not where... You know, I wonder if God ever says that, man. I don't know about that one. Gary, I don't know what I'm going to do with him. We can't blame God for the behavior of his children. It's not God's fault when so-and-so said, so-and-so did, or the church didn't. We can't blame God. I go back to the 70s and 80s watching these TV preachers. Big old problems in their lifestyles and their choices. And I'm going to tell you, it hurts pastor to see that damage to the church. But we can't blame God for it. So where does the blame lie? The blame lies with Satan. Now, if you remember, now pay attention here. Last week, right, the week before last, when I did this message, I started out with this. Who's the enemy? Anybody remember that point? The enemy is Satan. It's the enemy, not them. Satan is the one that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan's the one who wants to take you out. He wants to steal your joy, kill your peace, and destroy your life. And so we need to understand when it's, so when we blame somebody else, we need to kind of step back and think about what we're saying. Look at what it says here, Ecclesiastes 7:20. Not a single person on earth is always good and never sins. Not a single person. We're all, matter of fact, we quote Romans. Anybody ever quote Romans 3:23? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone. See, the church, here's what it is. I read this saying, the guy called them, how do you say this word? I'm trying to get the word how he worded. Sinning saints. He says, the church is made up of sinning saints. We want to be this way. I want to act this way. I want to behave this way. I want to be a person after the heart of God. And yet, sometimes, it's not that way. Anybody in that boat? Attitudes, thoughts, words. See, we need to, we're all sinners. The church is just made up of sinners. It's not a place of perfect people. There's no such thing as a church with perfect people. There's no such thing as a perfect church. If you're looking for the perfect church, you're never going to find it. All right? It's just not going to be there. We're all struggling to try to be like Christ. And I'm not there. And I've been at it for a few years now. Just a few. And I can't get a hold of this. I remember trying to play golf. I'd go out and I'd try to play golf, and you know, I'd get really good. I'd go out to the Escalon Golf Course and I'd shoot a 32 was par there, my whole course. That's about the best I can do. I'd shoot like a 35, 36. Man, I'm doing great. I'd go out the next week, 42, 44. You know, it's like, I'm finally getting this. I'm getting, I got to start all over again. Everybody feel like that about your Christian life? You know, you make some progress and you're feeling pretty good, and then see, I want to challenge us. We're not perfect. Don't blame God. It's not God's fault. We're all on this journey. We're all striving and struggling. Don't be surprised when somebody does something dumb in church. And if you're in this church, don't be surprised when it's me. Some of you have been here a long time. You're sitting there going, yeah, I know. I remember when you said this. I keep reminded about some words I said when I preached. Don't go there. Yeah. See, we need to understand this. We're not going to get surprised. It hurt. I'm not taking away from the pain. I'm not taking away from the hurt. But we just need to understand. It's not God's fault. We can't blame God. And I'm really going to say, don't blame the person. You know, those. I keep coming back to that one Bible study I really enjoyed. And I had those three B's. When somebody hurts, what is their battle? What's their background? What's their burden? It usually comes from something. They're hurt. People hurt. And we need to see that. And we need to wrestle with that and understand that. So see, the church is just a bunch trying to be like Christ. I like that word, trying. I'm trying. I'm working at it. It goes back to that verse, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you. As far as it depends on me, I'm going to try. But don't blame God. Not God's fault. The second thing note I put down here is this one. Don't become cynical about the church. Don't become cynical about you. What bothers me, I have never seen it. Last night I did. I'm going to have to admit that. It's very infrequent that I see a positive portrayal of church on TV. Anybody? In the news? On TV, a show, a movie, you go to the theater. How many times do you see positive portrayals of Christians on TV? I seen one last night. I like Last Man Standing. I were watching Last Man Standing, and there was a great transition. One of the boys, one of the men in the church is an atheist, and the other guy is really naive. Some of you guys know the characters in the show, and he was talking to the guy's son. And the guy's son had stole something but wouldn't confess to it. So the kid finally confesses and tells the atheist dad that, I did steal this sucker from the store. And dad's feeling really good that his son confessed. He made the right choice. Then he finds out, he said, well, what made me realize it is The other guy told me about his friend Jesus, and he got mad. He didn't want, I want my kid to grow up and make his own decision. I want my kid to have the choice that he wants. And he got mad at the guy. So he calls the guy over. And he begins to have a conversation with him. And he goes, I don't want my son to grow up and feel he's got to be tell the truth because he's judged for doing wrong. And the naive guy goes, I don't know what you're talking about. I just told him Jesus loves us and that we need to do what's right. And it's like, it's just setting back. See, the world has this picture of the church. I don't want to be around those people. They're intolerant. They're hypocrites. They're homophobic. I don't want to be around those kind of people. Look at what they look at TV. Look at all the stuff on the news. I don't want anything to do with those people. And sometimes when we get hurt, guess what? We feel the same way. Well, if that's what it means to go to church, and that's the kind of people they have at that church. Anybody? If that's how those people act all the time, I don't want anything. I don't want to be around them. I think it's interesting because as we wrestle with this, I was looking at a story in the Bible with Jesus, the interaction Jesus had with this group called the Pharisees. These were super religious people, okay? These were the holy of holy people. They thought they were holy. You know, be holy for God's holy. I'm holy, God. And here's, listen to this interaction. As Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners. Well, just kind of a side note, Matthew was a tax collector. Yeah. And now listen, it's not like our IRS. You know, we're kind of afraid of them. These guys despised them, okay? These guys were thieves. They were liars. They were not good people. They bottom rung of the people. So Matthew was part of that. And here's all these tax collectors and sinners came and eat with Jesus and his followers. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked Jesus' followers, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard them, he said, it is not for the healthy people who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what this means. I want kindness more than I want animals. I did not come to invite good people, but to invite sinners. So we look at the church and all we see, well, I don't want to be like them. Well, you know what? Let me tell you what. You're looking at the wrong thing. Because I'm going to be honest, I don't want you to be like me. I want you to be like Jesus. That's what I want. I want to be like Jesus. See, I mean, the problem is we start looking at one another, and we become cynical. Look at that. Did you see what so-and-so did? One of my churches, not this again, make sure you understand, not this. There's things that could happen at church and before lunch was over, the news was at another church 40 miles down the road because she had family up there. I've had prayer requests at church that was kind of private on a Wednesday night, and before Sunday morning I'm getting a call that I got family up in so-and-so's church. They're telling me what happened in our church. We're sinners. We got to wrestle with this. Don't become cynical. I want to tell you, honestly, we're all alike. The only difference is, let me tell you, the only difference between you and me is my battles are different than yours. I don't know what yours is, but you put me behind a steering wheel of a car, and I grow horns. All right? I have no patience. I get aggravated. I get frustrated. It just, if you can't drive, get off the road, okay? And if you're in the far lane, that's called number one. Just so you know, you got to understand. It goes 2, 3, all right? That one lane is 75 miles an hour. I don't care what the sign says. All right? You know, that's a battle for me. I'm getting to the point of what, like I've shared with you many times, I thought my grandma, I wasn't saved when I was 13, 14. I didn't get saved until I was 17. I would pick pears, and we'd get up in the morning, I'd go live with my grandma during the summer, and we'd get in that truck. And before we started the truck, she would say, at 14 years old, my grandma's crazy, okay? Let's start the car. I'm ready to drive. I don't care about praying. I'm a 14-year-old boy. Give me the keys. Let's go. But now I'm older, not much, but a little older. It's like grandma had something going for her. Grandma had some wisdom I didn't have at 14 that I'm just now learning. See, my battle's different than yours. That's my biggest battle. I got other battles, so I'm not going to talk about them. But that's my biggest one. See, we all got to realize we're all in this. And it's so easy to become cynical. Well, because see, mine isn't as bad as so-and-so's. I'm just better at hiding it. Right? Come on. See, we need to watch that cynicism as we look at the church. And it's not easy not to become cynical and just, you know, I don't want anything to do with those people anymore. Look what they did to so-and-so. Look how they acted over there. And we can become very cynical about church. Don't do it. Don't blame God and don't become cynical about the church. The last one here, or the third one here, is don't abandon the church. And when you feel like you've been abandoned, when you feel like you've been hurt, it's to walk away. I'm just going to leave quietly. I'm just going to disappear. I'm just going to get out of this. I'm just going to go away and I'm going to leave. All I see, because see, here's what happens. Pretty soon, you put these glasses on, and all you see is the negative. Anybody? You start looking around, and you just see all the flaws. Anybody ever buy a house? Anybody ever go buy a house? One of the first things you do when you buy a house, and one of the things, I just got this car, you start doing is what? You start looking for all the, you got to go fix this in the car, you got to fix this, there's this over here. You got a house, right? This, do we ever do that with the church? We start looking at all the flaws. The pastor never wears a suit anymore. I wear a tie when it's a holiday, so I like wearing my Christmas ties. But the nursery, the you, the anybody? We start looking for all the negative. And so it's like I can't be there no more. Here's what I've learned over the years as a pastor is every church, just listen to me now, every church has the same problem. Even the big churches. It's just there's so many people there you don't notice them. It's all the same. Whatever church you go to, wherever I've been in church, it's always... Because Satan, he knows how to get us. He knows how to go after us. Look at what it says here. You should not stop gathering together with other believers. Get the picture? As some of you are doing. See, they're doing it. Instead, you must continue to encourage each other, even more as we see the day of the Lord coming. See, it's so easy just to say, I'm done. Now I can sleep in on Sunday. Watch baseball, football, NASCAR. I can go out and have breakfast before they all get out of church and get the good seat at the restaurant. You know, so I just don't have to go anywhere. I need one day to sleep in. Anybody? I hear these. It's church. But see, it's so easy just to wash our hands and just... But I want to... Whose church is it? This is my church. It's your church. But it's God's church. Who died for the church? Jesus. Who's coming back for the church? Jesus. If anybody had a right to be mad at the church and upset with the church, who is that? Jesus. If anybody had that right to a church, it would be God. It's like, what am I doing with these people? I often think about that. That God, looking at what in the world am I going to do? But he loves the church. And he's called us to love the church. And what that means, we love one another. Now, I don't always love what people do. I'll be honest with you. I don't always love what I see on Facebook. Anybody? I don't always love what I see text messages. Anybody? You know, even Christians, it's like, are you kidding me? You know? I'm going to preach a series, just kind of give you a heads up. I'm going to do a series on Christian digital citizenship. All right? We're going to have some fun talking about how do you use that smartphone when you're a dumb person? That's me, not you. My phone's smarter than me. You know, how do you do that? So we're going to talk about that. You know? But it's like, you know, when you see it, I'm just going to forget it. I'm not having anything to do with them anymore. You can't turn your back on the church. You hear that? You can't. We need the church. The church isn't God's for God. The church is for us. We need the church. We need one another. I need these relationships. I enjoy these relationships. It's fun. I love Bible study on Monday night, and those that come to the house, and we talk, and we share, and we enjoy ourselves. And Monday night they come, and they bring food, and I like that one too. You know? And it's fun. You know? Tuesday night I go over there, and they have always, I like the chocolate M&M's, please. Peanuts and all. You know? It's fun. Do we all, you know, do we say things? Does something happen? But we're there for one another. So, you know, don't abandon the church. You need it. You need somebody walking. As soon as you walk away from the church, now you're going to look back and you go, man, I really needed so-and-so. I wish so-and-so had been. I miss so-and-so. I've been here all these years, and I'm going to tell you, I miss Grandma Lily. I knew one thing. She was praying for me, man. I miss Mozella Brown. Oh, I enjoyed Mozella Brown. What a character. I remember we were painting the church when the church was here. And I'm painting the church. And I'm real careful. I like painting. I take the light plates off and everything. She comes down and helps, and she just paints everything. But she's 70-some-odd years old down here painting the church with me. You know? I still have great memories of those. Remember potlucks at the church I grew up that we ended up going to as a kid, and my grandma, and those potlucks there, she would bring and pull her car in, and then I'd have to go out, and she would have like 10 pots of food. Anybody remember those kind of potluck days? And I remember my brother-in-law, now he's my brother-in-law, we'd run to Kentucky Fried Chicken and buy a bucket of Kentucky, because we wanted to give something, so we'd go to Kentucky Fried, we'd get a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken, we'd run in and put it on the table, then we'd have to go get it at the end of the line. I got up there, and there's no Kentucky Fried Chicken. Church hurts. They ate all my chicken. I bought that chicken. Fortunately, Grandma made good food. You know what? But anybody, come on now. You guys know what I'm talking about. You get hurt. But there's so many wonderful memories. Don't abandon the church. Don't blame God, and don't become cynical, and don't abandon the church. But here's the one thing you do need to do. You need to guard your heart. You need to guard your heart. Now, I'm going to be real secure. When I'm talking about guarding your heart, I'm not saying this, because I see this happen. I got to guard my heart so I can't be around so-and-so anymore. Anybody? I got to guard my heart so I can't have anything to do with... That's not the guarding of the heart we're talking about here. Look at what God's Word says. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Not to protect yourself. But I got to protect myself so I can't assert, I can't do, I can't go, I can't. And some people do that with, I just can't. That's not the protection I think we're talking about here. For me, guarding my heart means this. I got to guard my attitude from becoming critical. Anybody? I got to guard my thoughts. Have you ever had a problem with somebody? Now, don't raise your hand, okay? Again, I don't, you know. You ever had a problem with somebody, and every time you see them, your mind replays that story? Don't raise it. Just think about it. You know, somebody did something, and every time you see them, your mind just goes, I remember one. It just replays in your head. That's what guarding your heart needs to deal with. You see what I'm saying? Guarding your heart means I got to get rid of those kind of thoughts. I got to get rid of that garbage in my head. I got to get rid of that attitude. I got to get rid of that feeling. I got to get rid of. And you got to move beyond those. That's what guarding your heart is. Because the Bible says, what's in your heart will come out of what? Your mouth. Hurt people, hurt people. Oh man, I've come back to that again, didn't I? See, we need to understand that. We got to guard our hearts. We got to guard our thoughts. Not to protect ourselves, but to heal ourselves. You see what I'm saying? See, if you here's the problem. To bury this. That's why I call it a silent killer. We'll bury these things thinking it's going to be okay. Because they're buried. We ignore them. But they pop up somewhere else. And they'll show up somewhere else. And so you got to deal with it. And the way you deal with it is, I'm going to tell you this, acknowledge the hurt. It hurt. So-and-so hurt me. Now we've talked, sometimes you don't need to go tell them, you just need to forgive them. We're going to talk some of that. But you just got to know, I'm hurt. Now what am I going to do? How am I going to deal with it? Am I going to bury it and try to just ignore it? Or am I going to deal with it? It's your family. It's your church family. It's your forever family. Like I say, if I'm doing housing assignments, you better make sure you're okay with everybody while you're here. Because if I'm up there and I know you got something hard against somebody, guess who your neighbor's going to be? Yeah, I'm going to be the house mom or whatever they call those people. We need to get along. There is not a person that I'm not going to try to get along with in my life. I've been hurt by some people. I've been called names. I've told you about the lady that stood out in front of me in front of this church when it was the old blue church. Told me, I hate you. Right to my face. Gary, you know I hate you. My response was real. Well, I'm okay. There's going to be people in town that like me and some that don't. But I say, are you okay with that? I wouldn't mind her being my neighbor. She's a busybody, but I wouldn't mind her being my neighbor. But see, we need to, what is that? So here's some things. I'm going to give you some verses here. I didn't put blanks. There'd be too many blanks to fill in. So you're going to have to circle some words, okay? So get your pen ready. Let's look at some of the things that you need to do. Here's how you guard your heart. Look at this first verse here. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Can you pick out a couple of words to circle there? How about the word humble? What do you think? That might be a good word to guard our hearts with. A little bit of humility. A little bit of gentleness. Maybe you want to circle that one. I'm going to skip patience. I don't want to deal with that one, so I'm going to skip that one. You might want to circle it, but that one I'm going to skip. I probably need to highlight that, circle it, star it for Gary, but I'm going to skip it. No, I underlined it just so you know. Bear with one another. Love one another. If I'm going to guard my heart, those are the things I need to practice. You know, when somebody hurt me, you know, I got to think back. You know what? I've hurt some people in my days. You know, I've done some things that have hurt people. And see, when they hurt me, it's like, well, you know what? I'm not in there. Anybody? A little bit of humility. A little bit of patience. A little bit of gentleness. Look at the next verse, Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. Kind of some words in there. Maybe the word kind would we circle. Maybe the word compassionate. And of course, I think we all should, at least I know I would want to circle that word forgiving. Is that some of the words we need? If we're going to guard our heart, if we're going to guard our heart, do we have that kindness? How about this next one? Now, I struggle with this one. I have a paraphrase for Gary, but this is a verse. Listen to what it says. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. Now, some of you know and been here for a while. You know how Gary says this one. This is Gary 1:1. I want to make sure you understand. This is sarcasm. All right? Vengeance mine, saith the Lord, but Gary gets even, all right? That is Gary. That's one of the battles I have to fight. See, I grew up with three brothers, two other brothers. There's three of us, 1 year apart. You did something to me. My brother did something to me, and man, it's on. I broke my hand hitting my brother. I had stitches over here over my eye with a tin shovel. We will. My brother's building. Anybody remember those balsa wood airplanes? Anybody remember making things out of balsa wood? Come on, some of you kids out here. Making things out of balsa wood. My brother's building this airplane, and he did something. It was toothpicks when I got done with it. He ain't fixing it. Vengeance in mind, saith the Lord. But Gary gets... Is that how, now, that's Gary. That's my... I have to fight that. But here's my belief. I really believe God fights my battles better than I do. And I've told you, I'm not going to fight with you on Facebook. I'm not going to fight with you on text message. I'm not going to fight with you on emails. I ain't going to get into that stuff. Because I'm going to tell you what, I got somebody bigger and badder than you. All right? And he can take care of me better than I can take care of myself. Vengeance is mine, say that. Don't try to get even. You got to guard your heart. You know, those, I don't know about you, but those thoughts will flash across mine. You cut me off. I hate this 120 over here. Anybody on 120? 5 o'clock in the afternoon, coming down 120, getting on 99. People fly by you on the second lane and then want to get over in front of you. I'm going to be bumper to bumper, man. You ain't getting in. Come on now. I'm not the only one. Don't sit there like, you never do anything like that. You know, vengeance of mine, say the Lord, but Gary's going to get even. Yeah. Just get in line. Go to the end of the line. Yeah. We got to... You ever say things? Come on. Got to guard our mind. You see what he's saying? Guard your heart. You see why he's saying guard your heart? That's a battle. And look at this last one. Because I'm going to tell you, let me say this. If you're sitting here this morning and you've been hurt, and you're hurt by family or whoever it is, and you're saying you can't do it, I'm going to tell you, you're right. You can't. You can't. You need God's help. Look at what it says. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit, inner being. Why don't you circle that word spirit? Because if you're going to deal with life, whatever the situation, if you're going to get through life, you're going to have the help of the Holy Spirit in your life. See, when you cross that invisible line, you hear me all this, guys. Now listen, when you cross that invisible line, when you become a Christian, now again, I'm not saying walk the aisle and shake somebody's hand. You know, you prayed some prayer. You know, you were baptized. None of that's going to make you a Christian. Those who've been here with me saying, you got to get a point in your life where you reach the point where you say something like this. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. That's what a Christian is. You've given control to God. And when you give that control to God, he puts his spirit in you. Because I'm going to tell you, if I was left to Gary's own way, I would still be that vengeant individual. And that would be my personality. And I would. That's the way I was raised. That's the way my brothers and I, man, it was lie, cheat, steal, do what you got to do. But God changed me at 17 years old and he put his spirit within me. And so I can't do all this. I can't guard my heart. My attitude sometimes is bad. My thoughts, my spirit. Sometimes I do come home snippy. I'm going to say that. Hope you don't come in and look at me. Deny. Yeah. But I have a spirit within me that's helping me try to be like Christ. Anybody? I'm on this journey with God. And in this journey, I need his church. I need this church. I need these people. I'm not going to blame God, and I'm not going to be cynical, and I'm not going to abandon the church. I'm going to guard my heart, my thoughts, my attitude, my vengeance. I'm going to guard my life. Not by separating and abandoning, but by drawing closer to the people of God who are all in the same boat. For none of us are perfect. And all of us are on this journey. And the church is our home to find that strength for the Holy Spirit. I pray you have that. I'm not going to deny it hurts. It hurts. I've shared with you when I left that church, my first church, I 3 days on the side of a mountain crying, hurting. literally walking up the side of that mountain crying. If it wasn't for, just so you could pray, if it wasn't for the director of missions and some of the other pastors in that association, because I wasn't going to go to that meeting. So when we used to go to Hume Lake, some of the pastors, remember going to Hume Lake? We'd go up there, and I wasn't going to go to that meeting. They go, resign the church, and they go, no, you need to go. No, you got to go, and they took me up there. If it wasn't for those guys, that's why the church made a difference. But it hurt. So I'm going to tell you, the pain is real. I'm not trying to deny the pain. I'm not telling you to ignore the pain, because that's not going to help you. I'm not trying to tell you to bury the pain. I'm not even going to tell you to run, because if you run to another church, guess what? You're taking the pain with you, and it'll show up over there sooner or later. What I'm saying is that the Spirit of God work in your heart so that you guard your heart with humility and forgiveness and kindness and patience, and see what God can do with you and through you, because it's the church. Is that you? Are you hurting? Jesus is here to help. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths, that you truly love your church. Sometimes we as members do not behave as children of God, and we hurt one another, maybe intentionally or most of the time unintentionally. But either way, the pain is so real, and it hurts. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you got a pain, and it might not be this church, it might be, you know, whatever's going on in your life, I don't, and you want me to pray for you, just shoot your hand up that I can pray for your heart and pray that God would encourage you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Lord, you've seen the lifted up hands of those who are hurting. I ask that your Spirit, which dwells within your believers, will stir their heart, Lord, will encourage them, that you'll put a wall around their heart, not to protect them from others, protect them from themselves. Lord, give them a humility. Give them a grace and a mercy. Give them an encouragement and a strength that they cannot explain, or that they can heal this wound that hurts so bad. Strengthen them. Let your Spirit just anoint them. As your scriptures say, that the cup will run over, Lord. They cannot explain the power of the grace of God, their pain. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.